This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
There we are, we're on air. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I hope there's a few people out there to listen to this month's Rotary Matters. I'm Alistair Osborne from the Carston Rotary Club, and it's our month this month, and Georgia is here again, our youngest member, and we're going to finish off today with perhaps a little bit of a debate of young versus old, and a little bit of the philosophy of how life's unfolding now. Yeah. But first of all, we'll just run through a few items that we've dealt with in the last couple of months. We haven't been on for 3 months, I think. Might almost be 4 months. It doesn't matter. But Marilyn Buzaid from Marston South asked that she swap this one. We were meant to be next month. So this has come a bit earlier, but that's fine. So we will start off with, I don't think we've done a recap on Talent Wire Appa. The last time we were on, we were plugging
promoting it.
And now it has happened. And after that, we will move on to other things at the club. So I'll leave, I'll ask Georgia just to do a wrap up on the talent.
Yeah, hopefully my microphone's working. It is cool. Yeah, so we had the final of Talent Wairarapa. It was the end of May that we had that. That was awesome. Really, really good talent. It just, every year it gets better and better. So the first place in the over 14s was Kai and Kendall. First place in the under 14s was, oh my goodness, who was it in the under 14s?
I can't recall.
I can't remember now either. We'll come back to that. I'll double check on our Facebook page. But the winner for the group, I believe, was Rampage again.
That's right, it was.
So yes, that was. Yes. But again, let me just double check who came first in under 14s.
But it's certainly proved a real winner again. We're always a little bit anxious leading into it as to how successful it's going to be.
14 and under was Monty Fairbrother.
Oh yes, of course.
Performed Little Lion Man by Mumford and Sons, I think. That was awesome.
Yeah, he was very, very good. He just got better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what's so encouraging about it. The young ones, they're prepared to get out there and do it, and they start a bit rusty, and they just get better and better. Yeah, it was lovely.
And that's what's awesome, being just helping out at the shows, not even being a spectator, but you go along and you watch how the growth and the development of the performers from the heats through to the finals. It's impressive.
Yeah.
But, you know, we... as we did on the night, we wouldn't have been able to run it, obviously, with our Cardiff and Rotary, in particular Vicky Pickering, who set it up many, many years ago, I think 2015 or 16 the first one. And then our major sponsor this year was Harvey Norman, so that was really awesome to have their backing. And then our other sponsors, Sharps, Stockfeeds, WBS, Wairarapa Times Age, Wild Oats, you know, there was a lot of people this year, and it's the support of those local businesses that actually help us every year to run the event, and, you know, the contestants as well, because we wouldn't be able to run it without them. So, successful year.
Yeah, it's fitting that Georgia should comment on it, because she was very much involved with it, supporting Vicky Pickering and a small but very effective committee. No, it's a great effort, and we're always a bit anxious whether it actually gets off the ground every year, but you get along to the Carston School Hall for the heats, and they were there in numbers. I mean, they were swelled somewhat by the fact that a large choir turned up, but that's also good to see these groups prepared to have a crack at it. Yeah, no, it's very good, very good. I've often wondered if there's a way of extending talent to we'd say Talent Wire Appa, so we're really asking for anyone south of Woodville, really, to come in.
To come in.
But it tends to be a little bit localised on Carston and Masterton, but we've got to keep getting the word out there.
I think what's also really cool is when you... so we do live videos on Facebook, and then the amount of views that a lot of the videos get afterwards. You know, there was, I can't remember any from this year, but last year there was some of the videos of the performers that had over 1,000 views, that's what's really cool is that it obviously hits a wider audience than we realise on the night.
That's an interesting comment. You know you have got traction.
We've got it there. It's always the same thing every year. With it's a little bit quiet with people entering initially, but in the lead up the month. Coming into it is when it gets busier. Yeah. So,
and it's always a bit of a buzz when people just walk in the door and sort of end up there accidentally. That happened with the mother and daughter last year. It was lovely. Thank you for that, Georgia. That's Talent Wire Appa for another year. I've just got a note here about changing of the guard every 30th of June. There's the Rotary offices change all around the world. 40,000 plus clubs all change at the same time. It's rather remarkable that an organisation operates the same under the same rules and the same bylaws worldwide over all sorts of nationalities and that. So we've got a new president. Vicky Pickering is back in the chair. She was in, it might have been 10 or 15 years ago, Vicky was president, so it's lovely that she's doing it again, and a very, very committed Rotarian is Vicky. She's rattling cages now because we are down in numbers. Although we're steady, but we do need more members, and it's a bit of a struggle for all organisations. We know that, but we've still got to keep trying. We have. Obviously getting a bit older and not able to lift quite as much or do quite as much physically. But so Vicky's in, and Georgia here, she's lined up at this stage to be next year's president, which will be lovely and really refreshing for the club to have one of the younger ones in. And Georgia, if you don't remember, she's a practicing lawyer in Masterton. She's an Auckland girl and made her home here. She's bought a house here, made a commitment to the Wairarapa, which is really marvellous. And I know she's involved in other things. You've got another couple of interests, haven't you, Georgia?
Yes, so I was, I'm past president. Last year I was president for Toastmasters Wairarapa, taking a little bit of a break from that at the moment. But then I'm also a trustee for the Life Education Trust, Wairarapa Central Hawke's Bay and Tararua, so that's really awesome as well. I quite enjoy doing that.
Yeah, that's something that Rotary's been involved with right from the very start, to some degree. I remember in 1990 we had the very first North Island caravan or truck to come here. The first one came here for our conference here, So it's been around for a long time and very effective. It is effective, that program.
Yeah, so we basically cover, all of the Wairarapa, and we head up into Central Hawke's Bay and the Tararuas, go into usually the intermediate primary high schools, Harold in the mobile classroom and our educator Holly. And I remember going through Harold when I was at school, back in intermediate, and it's interesting to see the change in topics where used to be really sort of, about healthy eating, maintaining relationships and, what to do when someone bullies you and things like that. But over the years, obviously with technology and did the drugs and alcohol as well, but nowadays there's also about vaping, smoking, there's still drugs and alcohol, but also Harold or Life Education's introduced a financial planning, or financial savvy course as well. So it's Harold keep, or Life Education rather, keeps up with the times, and it adapts to what kids just generally need.
Oh, that's an impressive little summary. Thank you. Yes, that's very good. And Rotary's proud to be associated with that. And in a relatively minor way now, but clubs all around New Zealand, I know, are still making donations to make sure that Harold keeps going. Yeah. Because I think there's a lot of debate about what drug programs or what programs along those lines are the most useful, but certainly to get to children at that impressionable age, I'm sure is important. That's very good.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of background to Georgia. So Georgia's coming in as next year's president, and we've got a few new people on the board to run the club. We have a club administrator or administration committee. We've got an international committee. And what else is there? There's public relations and...
public relations and membership, administration... international and
it's a bit modern now because we were based, I mean, Rotary traditionally is based on, and I've got to be careful not to use that word too emotively, but club service, which is running a club, vocational service, which is one of the reasons we all joined, because we had a job and a particular vocation, and then international service, which is very, very important to Rotary, and community service, which is what we do in our local communities, and we're all clubs do a certain amount of that, and we're no different to any other club, which perhaps leads on to other things we're doing, unless you want to make any comments about the new leadership of the club.
No, I think nothing to add. I think it's always awesome when you get a changing of the guard, new board members and new ideas, fresh ideas to run the club, and, you know, new initiatives that and events we can run in the community.
One of Vicky's new initiatives, and being sensitive to the fact that we're not having quite got the man, the power of the man, as far as manpower goes, and she's very much promoting Friends of Rotary, which has happened for a number of years. There are people there that are very happy to put their shoulder to the wheel, but not make a total commitment. Mm. Not that the commitment is enormous, but there is a financial commitment, and it's not an easy time for people. It's not an expensive club to belong to, but people are watching their pennies a lot these days. So that's the club. The book fair is next weekend.
Yes.
That's one of our big ones for the year, and that seems to come around more regularly than annually, but no, it's just annually. So you might just like to make a comment on that.
Yes, so the as Alistair said, we've got the book fair next Saturday and Sunday, so we set up in the Carterton Events Centre on, it'll be Friday the 9th of August.
Yeah.
Yep. And then on runs from Saturday and Sunday, so August 10th and August 11th, doors open at 9:45, I believe, and then it runs through till about 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock on the Saturday and Sunday. The books are now, it's like $2 for a book now, which is still a pretty good deal. And then on the Sunday, it's usually fill a bag or a box for, I think, $5 to $10.
Yes, I think that's always a bit of a loosey, but obviously we're keen to get as many books as possible. I think we've got to be clear of the hall by 4:30 on Sunday.
Okay.
So on Sunday, I think people have got to be there by sort of 3 or 4 to make sure you get in. But certainly I don't think it's any harm in advertising that if you do come later, there's probably a chance of taking more books away.
Yeah.
Because we've had a lot of, we take away a lot of books, and they reappear next year. Sometimes they go, sometimes they don't. But you can only recycle books for so long.
Yeah, and it's always fascinating every year to when you arrive and you see people already queuing outside to get into the events centre. It's awesome. So details are on our Facebook page as well. The post is up there if you want to get more information. That will also cover off who to contact about having books collected if you have books that you no longer want. We also do have on the Friday, we do have the venturers come in to help with the setup and the pack down on the Sunday, and that's also where we get Friends of Rotary involved to help out over the 2 days as well.
Yeah, so the Venture Scouts, they're very important.
Yep.
Nikki and I are actually going to be away for this one, so I'm busy trying to organise the bits and pieces we're involved with to make sure they're covered, but the venture scouts are a key to it running, so that we're very pleased to have them. And another, there's always a children's corner there that Sheila Butler runs, so with the children's books, and I think she reads stories and that sort of thing, does she?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's your bean bags and...
So bring your young ones while you're pottering around, they'll be looked after, I think.
And I believe, speaking of Life Education Trust, I'm pretty sure Harold is making an appearance.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think it's on Sunday between 1 and 3, I think Harold will be at the Carlton Events Centre. So.
Oh, very good. Oh, that's a date for the kids. Yeah. That's marvellous. Has he got to bring you any money? Going to buy a book or two?
Oh, he might. He might sit down in the kids' section and have a read with some of the kids.
That'd be lovely. That'd be lovely. Okay, that's the book fair. So, love to see everyone at the book fair. It's always a popular event in Carlton.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shame. We have been trying to find a shop to operate on a perhaps a weekly basis or a two-weekly basis, open and have a presence all year round, but it hasn't quite come to pass, which is a little bit of a shame because we've got these books, lots of them stored, and they could well be on display, and there could well be books there that people could take during the year. Anyway, that's the book fair. I've got firewood on my list. We've had two or three firewood raffles, and they're always well received, and it's important for the club coffers, those raffles outside the New World, and they work pretty well. We might have another couple. I've just, as I was driving in here, Vicky Pickering rang me, and there was a request come through for a load of firewood to be given to a woman who's got a child in Starship.
Oh.
So I think we'll probably be trying to deal with that tomorrow, which is rather nice. So there's all sorts of little causes come up, or not so little for that person.
No,
but
it'll make a difference.
But if it can make a difference, and that's really what Rotary's tries to do, is to make a little bit of a difference. And going back to talent, that little bit of a difference is recognising particularly young people for what they're capable of. I remember we had a member in the club, Jim McKenzie, who was a teacher. I think I've mentioned this before, but it can't be overdone. And Jim McKenzie was a fairly strict sort of school teacher, and there were a number of members in the club that had been taught by Jim, strict Jim. And but he was pretty put out when someone flippantly said the young are useless. He said, "I'll show you." So he promoted the idea of young achievers in our club, and for 17 years we ran a Young Achievers Night, enormously successful. And I've always been sad that has lapsed, because it is still very, very important that young people's success be celebrated. And that was, it could have been sport, it could have been music, it could have been any sort of achievement that a young person achieved, they attained a high level of proficiency, and I'd love to see that. Again, we used to get a guest speaker along for an evening, and the grandparents and the parents would come, and they'd see their child go up and get a certificate and be acknowledged. Yeah, special. And I think Rotary has still got a role to play in that particular area.
Maybe that's something that we should reintroduce.
Yeah,
I don't see why not. It's a good idea.
Yeah, no, it's good. We used to have a dinner, and we used to shout the children, but the parents used to just pay a nominal amount for the meal. But it was really fun, and I mean, we had people like Sir Brian Lahore speak. We had the Gavin Larson, who was a New Zealand cricketer. We had all sorts of people that were a great inspiration to kids. In fact, Jim McKenzie, it was interesting. I remember Brian Lahore, when he addressed the kids at the particularly young achievers he spoke to, And Jim McKenzie was the first coach to ever select Brian Lahore for a representative team.
Oh, wow.
And it was probably a junior Wairarapa team or something like that, but Jim McKenzie picked Brian Lahore for that team. And Brian Lahore turned around and said to Jim McKenzie, "Thank you for the career, Jim." Which was pretty special. Yeah. It was lovely. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll never forget that moment. Okay. How did we get there from firewood? But
talking about the youth are useless.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the firewood's going well. They keep the coppers full. Well, not full. Not full enough. But it keeps us ticking over.
Yeah.
Speakers, we've always have interesting speakers. John Bilalli, were you there when John Bilalli was there from the food bank?
No, I missed it.
I went to Rotary that night. Of course, speakers are an important part of Rotary, and I think they're a great community service because they simply tell us it doesn't matter what the subject is. It certainly doesn't have to be necessarily local, but it's just interesting what makes the world go round. And I noticed in our weekly bulletin that someone was going to talk about food bank. I knew John Bilalli, not well, but I knew him. And I thought this could be over in 5 minutes. But he went through the background to it and how it started in England a number of years ago and gave quite a good history of it. It was really quite an interesting address, but it's something that we're involved with mainly on the food bank collection night, which is the same for all Rotary clubs. I think certainly Masterton South has a major part to play in the Masterton one, and South Wairarapa, I believe, are involved in the one in South Wairarapa and those three centres down there. Yeah, so that was interesting. Were you there for Grace Toohey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was awesome. I think it's like I'd said when I thanked her. It reminded me of when I went to Japan on a school trip when I was in year seven, and it's those type of trips that you do when you go to a different school in a different country, speaking a different language, different culture, and those are always really eye opening, and the connections that you make on those trips are also really special as well. So it was really awesome to hear how she found her trip. And
yeah, no, I was very impressed.
Yeah.
And another little aside to Grace is the fact that her mother, Simone Grayson, of course, has been a Charles Rookin Carter awardee this last year. So, and she's a lovely person who has made a huge contribution to Carterton and has been on your talent committee.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. She's one of the judges.
So Simone's her mother, but Grace really spoke really well, I thought.
Yes.
And it's interesting, she was talking about France, which is right on everyone's lips at the moment as we...
With
the Olympics. Have you been up watching the Olympics?
Got to admit, not really. I when I say I like the Olympics, I like the gymnastics. Yeah, it tends to be what I watch, but I keep an eye... I've been keeping an eye on how New Zealand's been tracking, but... Yeah. What about you, Alistair?
That gymnastics girl, the American girl.
Oh, Simone Biles.
She's done extraordinarily well, hasn't she? I saw her do something impossible the other night. Yes, absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
Anyway, she did it. Yeah, that's great. I know I've been a bit of a fan. We watched the rowing for quite late last night because she was a great night yesterday with a silver, a gold and a bronze.
Yeah.
And, of course, the night before we watched... the boy from Taupo, triathlete.
Oh, Hayden
Wild. Yeah. And he was run down in the last 500 metres. It was unbelievable because he was so far ahead. But what a wonderful effort it was. Mm. And obviously the winner is a very, very close friend of his too. So it was rather nice. Yeah, so that was brilliant. So I've been certainly taking in my fair share of the Olympics and love it. So that's, it was interesting, because Rotary's had a big presence in youth exchange programs. Mm. Unfortunately, they've lapsed since, well, they have in our district since COVID. Mm. I know that they are on the move in other parts of the world. It'd be lovely if it started again here, because they've had, I think we've had, I listed all our students down a while ago, and I think we've had 14 or 15 through here over the years all over the place, Germany, Switzerland, Canada, a larger number from the States, but three from Canada I can remember, South Africa, Mexico, we've had a great run with them, and they've been terribly interesting, and Nikki and I still keep in touch with a couple of them, so that's always fun. So I hope we do get back to youth exchange again. But it was interesting, she talking to her about the difference in the education system in France. There was no playway about it, or there was no. It was pretty intense. Mm. And I think she found it a little bit difficult, but that's part of the challenge.
Yep.
And that I just read before, I've got an 11 point commentary that what's his name, Gates,
Bill Gates
makes to children. Mm-hmm. Saying when you leave school you're on your own, and life, if you think life was tough at school, wait until you leave school and get a boss. And it was quite interesting, that was part of what came through in Grace's. She didn't regret. She was grateful that she'd had that opportunity to be challenged.
Yeah.
So she'll be a better person for it.
Yeah, and I think it also makes you realise how lucky we are in New Zealand. Because I think a lot of it was, she was saying, it was very rote learning. It was, there wasn't any room, I guess, to debate with the teachers or what you're being taught. Whereas in New Zealand, I feel like there's a little bit more freedom to, maybe freedom, but there's a bit more flexibility with how you learn and...
Yeah. I enjoy talking to the grandchildren about their relationships with teachers, and it is interesting. It's a different world from that one that we went through. I wouldn't change anything I'd done, and I reflect happily on education. And I was a poor scholar, really, and I think they probably wanted to get rid of me because I was more interested in sport than scholarly things. Having said that, I don't regret a minute of school. It was good to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just about halfway through the show, and with the Olympics on, I thought we might just have a little bit of Olympic music. So we're going to listen to Chariots of Fire. And as the athletics start this week, we think of that film and that 100-metre runner. It was a great film. Do you remember it?
I have to say I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it? Well, you must see it because it's very, very good. But the music's lovely. And I'll see if I can get all this going. I've got to stay on here, turn my mic off, and here we go. Here's Chariots of Fire. That's Chariots of Fire by Vangelis. I love the tune, it really is. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have seen it. And Georgie has just announced to me that using all this modern technology, she's able to determine that it's available on Disney Plus.
Yes, so I will be watching that over the weekend.
Well, please do, because I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's interesting because I've got another note here about the Singapore Convention, and I've sort of referred to that as Rotary's annual Olympics, because we're in about over 200 countries, and every year we have a convention, and the people turn up from all over the world to those conventions, and they're great. And I'm reminded of I'm not sure if Chariots of Fire was 1936, but 1936 was a rather special Olympics that you may or may not know about, because Jesse Owens was the black sprinter from the US who was snubbed by Hitler. And it was a really rather tense occasion. And it was the same Olympics that our own Jack Lovelock won gold too, so that was a rather moving thing. And I was reading in some Rotary publication that there was quite a turning point. Rotary has always prided itself in not have any particular sector interest, religious, political, whatever, and it still prides itself in that. Some of the elements of Rotary started to become coloured as a result of that, but it resisted. And it goes through to post-war, and Rotary was involved, as I think probably Lions were as well, and groups similar to ensuring, well, first they were members of the League of Nations, then a member of the United Nations, so they had a part in developing those sort of programs. So that sort of international contribution is important. I gave a little 3-minute speech the other night, and I mentioned that the Rotary has established its seventh peace centre. In about 1992, they started to award scholarships to, no, it was 2002, I think, peace scholarships, and Greg Mitchell in Wellington was one of the very first peace scholars. We've never had him to speak. I don't know where Greg is now, but he was nominated by the Port Nicholson Rotary Club, and he's just been back to that club for their 35th anniversary, I noticed in one of their newsletters. But Rotary has established these peace centres around the world, and the seventh one was established in Turkey in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And goodness gracious me, they need some peace in there, because it's just not that flash.
No.
And my 3-minute talk was about how it was pretty unstable in 1967 when I went through. So it's been like it for thousands of years, unfortunately, and it probably is not going to change in a hurry. And the other interesting thing about Rotary there is that you can have Rotary's broken into districts of perhaps might be between 50 and 100 clubs. But there are areas in the world, especially in Africa and the Middle East, where a district governor will be jumped the border. He will have different countries under his jurisdiction, and it doesn't mean anything. But it's a great way. It's the same way in which I believe sport is useful in bridging those divides. And I think, and hopefully the Olympics achieves that. Certainly I've loved seeing the sort of camaraderie between the athletes. They get out of the water. Different countries have just thrashed one another in the pool or on a boat or something.
Yeah.
But they are very, very good sportsmen with it. So I think it's great. So that's Rotary's. And then Rod O'Leary the other night at our we had a meal at Chopsticks the other night, which was quite fun, and Rod made the toast, and he toasted the Rotary Club of Montmartre, which is in Paris. Have you been there?
Been to Paris.
Yeah.
Don't know if I've been to Montmartre.
Montmartre is a lovely place up on the hill above the town, and there's a square that's always full of artists. It's lovely.
Oh, heard of it, yes.
Yeah. And Rod toasted the Rotary Club of Montmartre. And they were advertising their meetings. And I think they had a regular daily thing going on for Rotary visitors to Paris.
Oh, cool.
For the Olympics.
Yeah.
And that will happen in all Olympic cities. There will be Rotary clubs that will motivate themselves in various ways. They'll be hosting or they'll be doing various things. Yeah, it's always cool. Quite fun. Yeah. So that's... the convention in Singapore, which I don't know how many people attended, but I think it's probably in the area of 15 to 20,000. They always get a lot of people. Wow. So, yeah, they're very impressive.
Has there ever been a convention in New Zealand?
No, there's never been one in New Zealand, no. We just don't have. The only Nikki and I have been to two. I went to one in Salt Lake City for our own New Zealand governor, Bill Boyd. Okay. He was scheduled to have his in New Orleans in 2006, I think, and we always said we would go to Bill's. We knew Bill and Lorna quite well. They were in Wellington. In fact, he was the first person to invite me to join a committee outside of our club.
Yeah.
So he was always a bit special. And then he moved from Wellington South up to Pakuranga, and he was president of Rotary out of that. He was the general manager of Gordon and Gotch, which was the big company that distributed magazines in New Zealand.
Okay.
I don't think they exist anymore, Gordon and Gotch, but he was, and his family had a book shop and Whanganui, I think, and had a history in books. He's the one that is really responsible for Rotary's Usborne dictionaries.
Ah.
Bill Boyd virtually, I wouldn't be single-handedly, but he was certainly the major promoter of that dictionary program.
Yeah.
So we went to Salt Lake City and to that conference because it was scheduled to be in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And Hurricane or Cyclone Katrina.
Katrina, yeah.
Wrecked it. And a year out, they decided that they would not be right. So that was how bad it was.
Oh, wow.
And Salt Lake City came up with it. So we were very lucky to go to a city we never thought we'd go to. It was a lovely trip. And we went to another one in Melbourne too.
Oh, nice.
And that had Melbourne, I think Salt Lake City only had about 15,000. Melbourne had over 20,000. And we had two opening ceremonies in two different stages. So it filled the Rod Laver Arena at the Tennis Centre twice.
Oh, wow. For
a repeat opening ceremony. It's a lot of people, Yeah. But it was fun, yeah. Okay, we'll move on. I've put here Rotary face-to-face or technology and remote. We're at a finished stage socially, I think, where so much is done remotely. And there are Rotary clubs that don't meet. They are e-clubs, and that's fine. I think that's quite a novel way of doing it, where you've got an interesting international spread.
Yeah.
But I referred to someone the other day as Rotary being a contact sport. And I still believe that to ultimately be the case. And it worries me that even in business, I wonder whether there is enough contact. And we're sort of reminded of 1905 when Paul Harris and three of his friends got together because they were lonely in business. And that's actually how it started, because in professional terms, they never had they couldn't talk to one another. So Paul Harris got those blokes together, and within a few weeks they were meeting every week, but they used to meet in one another's offices. And then after that, it started to get some legs, and they met in a particular venue.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, and I'm not sure that it's just as relevant now as it was then, and I'm not sure if I'm right. That's why I mentioned at the start of the program as to whether I know in business we need a structure, and all businesses need a structure.
Yeah,
and the looser it is, the less productive it is. I think. Yes, I'm not sure, but I think personal involvement and personal contact is very important.
Yeah, I think there's still space in for groups like Rotary. I think that there is. I couldn't be part of a, and this is just a personal thing, I don't think I could be part of a club where it was solely online. Like, I think the reason why there was two reasons why I started coming to Rotary. One was because I wanted to get involved in the community, because I've always liked volunteering and doing that type of work. Yeah. And then the other one was actually to meet people. Yeah. And so that's, for myself, going to the meetings and having that connection with people is why I go and why I keep coming, is because it's nice to be able to meet people and have a meal and have a chat and do all that. And so
I mean, I was a farmer. I was just working by myself all day and coming and have dinner, and that was it. And the weeks used to go by like that, and then I had an opportunity to join the local grocer, Laurie Robson, who happened to be a Rotarian, called in, and he said, "What about Rotary?" So I ended up going along, and most of my friends are farming, but farming is a pretty boring subject at times, and it gets a bit serious too. Yeah. So it's rather nice. And for the last 47 years, I've been going along and really enjoy, just not that it's just so that I don't mix with farmers, it's just that you're mixing with a varied group of people and guest speakers that you would never normally hear or have any contact with. Yeah, no, it's special. Yeah. So that's sort of my little thing at the moment, that we're having difficulty attracting people, but how do we overcome it? And I always find it interesting that our club has chosen to stay weekly. I don't think it's necessarily your preference particularly, and it could change. My brother's club in Lower Hutt, they now meet fortnightly, and there's plenty of options for clubs to meet in different ways.
Yeah.
And it may well come to us. I've always been interested that our club members have wanted to stick with the weekly ones.
I think it's almost... because it's then choice. You then can choose whether you go every week. And
I think
a lot of it came down to, and a lot of it also goes back to that social connection with people. Yeah. At least that's your one event a week that you know you're going to go out and you'll see people. But if we took it down to every 2 weeks or every fortnight, then it kind of limits, and then it's almost like that expectation that you do then go every fortnight, because we've only got two meetings a month.
It's interesting. It's interesting, and I think that's the beauty of Rotary now. We have been flexible enough to adjust to that. I do struggle with clubs that there's only one in our district that does not meet. It's called Te Munga. It's got a Maori name, hasn't it? And they don't meet, but they've collected people from other clubs that have closed down, I think.
Yeah.
So they sort of loosely meet. I don't know if they meet online or what.
Okay.
So it's interesting. I mean, Rotary, all volunteer groups are challenged. Nikki and I are going down tomorrow to pick up some books from a church in Martinborough. We've had them for the last two or three years, and I was talking to the woman down there yesterday, and I said, "Do you have anyone that could give us a hand to put the books on?" And she said, "No, but I can assure you the banana boxes with books in them are not super heavy, so we should be able to manage them. But I'm going to try and take a grandchild down to give us a hand."
Yeah.
But she said, "No, we're all old at the church." Yeah. And it's a rather repeated story that groups are getting older. There's all sorts of options. My brother was telling me, in his club in the Hutt, they have a corporate membership there, and that's working very, very well. That club has climbed in numbers, which is not particularly common. So that's a good thing. How Rotary evolves, I'm not sure, but I think it can be fun. That's the important thing. It was a good night at the local Chinese restaurant, Chopsticks, the other night. It was fun. Very good food. And the young boy who's still at school, I think he was in his last year at school, he waited on us. Yeah. And he was very, very bright and friendly. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And it was a good night. Where are we up to? We're just about... We're running out of time here, but I think the other things that I think I've got a bit of a job against my name, and that's try and pull the group and the Wairarapa together occasionally. And I was talking to a master in Rotarian the other day, yeah, and saying how we must do something again with them, because they really are struggling. Their membership's very small, and they have their centenary, I think it's next year. So that's an important milestone that they really do want to reach.
Yes.
So hopefully we can do some mixing with other clubs too. Mm. But, it's an interesting process, Rotary, and I've certainly had a lot of fun out of it, and it's nice to see you coming through. Yeah. We've just got to convert a few more of the friends into members, and look at projects that can keep the encourage the young ones.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think we're getting close to out. We've got another 5 minutes, so you're going to have to invent something to talk about. I was talking to I play cards with every week with some Master and South Rotarians, and so I keep getting reminded about what they're doing, and they've got a very strong club with some very, very successful ongoing projects. They own the Master Putt, and they own the they have the car boot sale every week, so they've got regular income. Yeah. It's marvellous. And that's what we've always struggled with a little bit, is getting that regular income. That's why I was keen that we could get a shop in town.
And that would have been cool.
And just sell books all year round.
Yeah.
Which would be a good thing to happen. So at the moment, and we've got a quiz coming up later on the year.
Yep, that's in October, I
think. That's October. Yeah. We might not be back on when we've done August, September. We might miss out advertising that, so hopefully we can get a good number for that. That's always a good money spinner for the club.
Yeah.
The project, I think we mentioned it last time we were on, that we have highlighted as getting a priority from our club and from the two Lions clubs in Carterton, the Lady Lions and the, can you say Men Lions? But they have different, two different clubs there. Is the swimming pool.
Yes.
Swimming pool project, which would be marvellous to see that up and running.
Mm.
There's certainly one or two sceptics around saying it's going to be too expensive, but I think we've got to stick to it. Russell Gange and his group have done a wonderful job of putting swimming in the forefront in Carterton, and to see that building re-roofed would be marvellous. And I think it's possible. I've had a little bit of involvement with it, but hopefully it can stay in the forefront. But we're not going to be able to do a lot by way of fundraising, but we can help facilitate it happen.
Yep.
When Carterton, we had no doctors in Carterton in about 1978 or 79, and the last doctor, Tim Brodie, he was a Rotarian, left, and we had no one there, and a doctor by the name of Kit De Silva serviced Carterton from Masterton.
Mm-hmm.
So Wally Cowell, who some may remember as being a social credit candidate here, and Guy Hemmings, a chap that returned to Australia, dreamt up the idea of taking over the maternity home and the hospital in Carterton, and we ended up getting three doctors here.
Oh, wow.
And those three doctors are only just retired. That's Craig Cherry and Annie Lincoln and Annie Lincoln's husband.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was wonderfully successful. And that didn't take a lot of money from Rotary, but we facilitated it and held hands with Lions, ran a very, very successful telephone appeal, which raised a lot of money. There was a, it was interesting because the hospital board owned the buildings and we sort of had to buy them back, but it operated as a peppercorn rental for a period of time and then at very favourable terms bought the properties and became the Carterton District Community Trust, which unfortunately has folded now. It had a specific element of its trust that it had to go to for medical purposes, and it was wound up a number of years ago because it happened because Craig Cherry and the doctors had no capital, they had no ownership of their property, and they needed a superannuation scheme more or less. So they built, Craig and his team built the new medical centre. Where you have, you probably don't know it, and because you're a master, don't you live in Marsden?
Yeah, Marsden, yeah.
But there's the old nurse's home is right next door, and that used to be the medical centre.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, that's interesting. That was a major project for Carterton Rotary. So I think we are just about going to kill it. We're eight minutes early. If you've got anything else you want to bring up?
No, we've covered off talent, covered off the quiz night, book fair next week. We'll probably do another firewood raffle, I imagine, within the next couple of months. Off the top of my head, no, other than just to say if you're interested in coming along to a meeting, we meet at 6 o'clock on Monday nights at Elmo's Bookstore in on the main street of Carterton. So if you ever want to come along, then just pop down.
Anyone's welcome. And if they, we have a policy that we will pay for someone's meal and a prospective member for the first couple of meetings. And come along and enjoy some friendly company. I think that will do us for Rotary Matters this month. Are you happy with that, Georgia?
Yep,
thank
I'm
you
happy
very
with
much.
That.
Thank you for joining us or joining in. And we will call that a month. 3 months, actually.
Cool, see you in 3 months.
Yeah, see you in 3 months. Thank you very much, Georgia. Okay.
Thank you, Alison.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.